There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel.
And I'm Joni Wolfswinkel.
And we have an awesome guest for you today. So this is a good friend of ours and somebody we respect very well. And so I have Alex Pardo, and I'm going to give a little bio here. So he's the founder of Creative RE Solutions, a home buying company based out in South Florida. The company's purpose is to provide people with solutions for unwanted properties while also demonstrating their core values. Alex is also the co-founder of Ascend, a high-level mastermind and coaching community for entrepreneurs that want to experience a better life and business. He is also the co-founder of Holiday Mastermind, which Joni and I have been very fortunate to be a part of, which was created to unite entrepreneurs that have a passion about go-giving, enhancing their businesses, all while doing it in a world-class setting. He is also the host of a Flip Empire show, a top-rated podcast designed to help achieve financial freedom through real estate investing. The show was launched in 2016, features industry thought leaders, and covers a variety of topics of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, marketing, team building, systems, automation, personal development, vision building, and much more. Through his businesses, masterminds, coaching, and podcasts, Alex is able to fulfill his purpose, helping others achieve freedom while passionately living his vision and with his family. Most importantly, Alex is a family man first. He's married to his beautiful wife, Natalie, and their two young, beautiful girls, Ariana and Alicia.
Alicia,
did I say that right?
Alicia, you got it, guys. Yeah.
So welcome, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today, Alex.
My absolute pleasure. They're two of my favorite people. We've known each other for a couple of years now, and the respect goes both ways. I look up to you guys in many ways, and it's been just an honor having you guys as friends and getting to know you in our mastermind excursions, and you guys are just awesome, awesome people. So thank you for having me on.
Well, likewise. I think that when we first met you, I knew we would be friends immediately. We kind of shared the same, you know, interests and values when it comes to business and creating a vision for your life and family first. So I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you a little better. Alex, why don't you tell us, maybe give some background on yourself. And I always love to hear the stories of how you got started, where you're at today, all that good stuff. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I'll try to be as brief as possible, but you know, I come from my entire family's from Cuba. My sister and I were born in Miami. So, you know, we didn't have any entrepreneurs in our family. And I remember when I was 12, 13 years old, I grew up in the baseball park. I grew up playing baseball, and I would buy and sell and trade baseball cards. And at the time, I didn't know. That was, I think, when I kind of got that entrepreneurial bug of buying low and selling high. Fast forward, when I got into college, I don't know if it was an ego thing, Joni, Sean, or if it was the prestige. I kind of saw myself as like a big wig for a Fortune 500 company. And it's funny because if you know me, and you guys do, that's not me at all, right? But yeah. At the time, I started interviewing with companies like General Electric, Johnson & Johnson, General Motors, et cetera. And I ended up taking a job with GE to work in their financial management program. So it was a rotational program where I lived and worked in Atlanta, Connecticut, and New York for a 2-year period. You know, wow. We talk about those defining moments in our lives. For me, it came like 3-4 months into my corporate job with GE. And I was, no lie, probably 70, 75 hours a week. Wow. I was just behind Excel and PowerPoint all day long. And I would look at my boss and look at all the way up the line, up to the CFO of the company. And I would ask myself, do I want to be in their position in the future? Do I want to be in their position in the future? And the answer was just unequivocally no. Like, I do not want that kind of life. And so for me, I had committed, you know, a 2-year program. And so I finished it off, but I knew that I wanted to do something else. So during that time at GE, I started to kind of educate myself. I picked up the common books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Think and Grow Rich and all those kind of books. And I knew I wanted to do something for myself because I wanted a certain lifestyle and I wanted to impact others and I wanted to be an inspiration for people, but I had no idea what that would look like. So I bought Carlton Sheets, no money down. I started figuring out how to try to assume loans and all this craziness. Right. And I didn't do deals at that time, but I essentially fired my boss 2 years later. I went backpacking around Europe and I was in an internet cafe in Ibiza. This was August of 2005. A friend of mine sent me an email inviting me to a marketing for deals bootcamp put on by a guy by the name of Dave Lindo, who you guys might know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
And that was a month later. It was $1,000. I basically had no money. I funded the entire trip on my credit card. And another defining moment, I decided to just do it because I was moving back to Miami and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. By the way, fun fact, I was moving back in with my parents, which being single at 25 years old is not the best look. So that was a driving factor for me. I went to that boot camp, plucked out a letter from the manual, started mailing pre-foreclosures. About 6 to 70 days later, closed a deal that was $44,000. And as they say, I haven't looked back.
Awesome.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. You taking that risk to, you know, just get it done.
What was your degree in? Just curious.
Finance and MIS, which is Management Information Systems.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And then how did you, so you just, what grew, it grew from there and just took off, or how, you know, what?
Yeah. So I was fortunate, Sean, that I've always kind of been a ready, fire, aim type of approach. And many times that's worked for me. And a few times it's kind of bitten me in the butt. This is one of those times where it worked out well. So I made a ton of mistakes along the way, but we're in a business, as you guys know, that corrects a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you can still make a mistake and come out profitable. So very well, the first. And then I got involved in a half rehab as my first rehab ever. And I ended up losing about $51,000 of my own money. That hurts. For me, that was, if I would have had a coach or a mentor on my side, I wouldn't have made that mistake.
Yeah.
So during that time, I made a, you know, I did a bunch of deals, but wholesaling was always kind of the core of what we did. And got involved in the wrong project, lost a bunch of money. And fortunately, it didn't like put me under, because that's when the market turned. By the way, can you guys hear me? Because
Unstable. Yeah.
Okay.
You're good. So did you, your focus has always been wholesaling. Is that?
Yeah. So during that time, the first 2, 3, 4 years, I did lease option deals and I did seller finance deals. I did some rehabs, but yeah, wholesaling has always been our bread and butter.
Got it. Yeah. What was most challenging about running that business, would you say, for, you know, like our listeners that are either in that industry or just, you know, how many employees did you have it at most?
So for the first 4 or 5 years, it was just me. I had a high paying job. It wasn't a business. I was self-employed and it was just me. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge was that, again, that ready, fire, aim approach is I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur. I was so focused on just doing deals and making money and taking action, as they say, mm-hmm. that I completely neglected the accounting and the books and all that. And that's a whole other conversation we can get into. But I found out in 2009 when I got, you know, a letter from the IRS that was about 1/2 inch thick, that taxes weren't filed and I owed a bunch of money. And so, you know, it was a painful learning experience that business isn't just about
creating money,
generating revenue.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to business. And so the biggest challenge, to answer your question, was that I didn't know what I didn't know. And it wasn't until like 2008 that I actually hired a coach and a mentor. So even though I made a bunch of money, I made a ton of mistakes.
Yeah, I think we've all been there, right?
Yeah, having that mentor to guide you along the way is extremely important. And I mean, right now you actually have a mastermind, right? And why don't you talk a little bit about that? I mean,
yeah. So, you know, getting involved in this business in 2005 and you know, doing this for the last 15 years, something switched in me probably about 4 or 5 years ago when I launched the podcast, The Flip Empire Show. Mm-hmm. But I started to get more joy and fulfillment out of knowing that I had a positive impact in people's mm-hmm. lives than I did from closing a big deal. And for people listening and watching this, that might sound crazy because, you know, but we all go through seasons in our life. Mm-hmm. And for me, and maybe this will kind of lead into, I know one of the questions you want to ask me about the decision I made earlier this year is I feel like I've been put on this earth to have an impact on people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that I realized and kind of leaned into what that would be for me. So yeah, you know,
how did you come to that realization though? Like, how did it develop for you? I mean, how did you mentally, emotionally, you know, probably spoke with your spouse about it, but how did you start to develop that purpose and plan? I'm just curious.
It was in 2013. In fact, a couple of weeks after we got back from our honeymoon, Natalie and I got married in 2013. We were talking about that before we hit record. Yeah. And we were in Bora Bora for our honeymoon. Attended a Life in Air event. And it was a 3-day event. And the purpose of that event was to essentially walk out with a clear vision for your life. Mm-hmm. That was around the time where there was a switch for me. It wasn't all about making money and trying to build the biggest building in town, but it was about getting crystal clear on what kind of life I wanted to live. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that I had a business that enhanced and supported that lifestyle and that vision. And, you know, I think we've talked about this, you know, when we were in Jamaica last year, so many entrepreneurs had that equation reversed, where it's all about making more money and hustling and growing and scaling, right. Yet personal relationships suffer, health suffers, mm-hmm. There's a lack of joy and fulfillment. And so it was around 2013-14 that, you know, I finally said, I need to focus on myself and what I want. And then let's make sure that the real estate business can support that.
And so, and that leads into your next journey that you talked about earlier this year. So how did, this is for me personally, I'm being selfish here, but, and I think it can benefit everybody, because I think you made a huge pivot, because you had been in your wholesaling business, what is that, almost 13 years, 14, is that, or longer?
Yeah, about 15 years.
15 years. And to walk away from, I'm sure at some points that was your identity. I know a lot of us that's our identity, our businesses and all that. And to be able to close the business, how did you come to that? Did you feel like you were failing, or did none of that even come into the equation, I guess?
Yeah, no, great questions. There's so many different ways I can answer it. Let me take you back to the beginning of 2019, because that's when I first started feeling internally like something had been off with the business. Mm. I had been, you know, we're a part of the same mastermind, mm-hmm. and we're around high achievers and just people that think big. And so, you know, during that time, I was all about how do I grow and scale and how do I get bigger and how do we generate more revenue and make more money, et cetera. And so at the time I had a team of 9, you know, typical acquisition manager, disposition manager, all that. Mm-hmm. And we were doing deals here in South Florida. And, you know, the vision for my business, I always wanted a simple business, lean, low overhead, high profit. And the bigger my team got, the smaller my margins got. Mm-hmm. And so we were having success, but that didn't come without its challenges. We had our fair challenges, but it got to a point, guys, where wholesaling deals and closing real estate transactions, it got kind of boring. Mm-hmm. It got monotonous. I had been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. And again, back to my earlier comment, people would sometimes send me a message on Facebook. Hey, I really appreciated this podcast episode. It helped me in XYZ. And I would legitimately feel some sort of attraction towards that versus, hey, we're closing a $25,000 deal on Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, it just became like, I was grateful for it, but it got boring. And I would ask myself, I've always been a big believer of, you ask yourself the right questions, you're going to get the right answers, and vice versa. And I was asking myself, if I was running this business in a year, 2 years from now, would I be happy with that? And again, the answer was no, I wouldn't. So it became, okay, what am I going to do about it? You know, life comes at us fast, and mm-hmm. as cliche as it sounds, the next minute isn't promised or guaranteed. So I started to do some soul searching, and I started to say, what do I want? Again, looking at my vision, what do I want? How does this business fit in? And the business wasn't fitting into the vision anymore. So that's when Steve Cavanaugh and I got together and we created Ascend. Mm-hmm. And so we have been running that for a year. And earlier this year, even before COVID, I was like, okay, I'm not having fun in this business. I need to make a move. Mm-hmm. But to your point, identity, right? I have a podcast that's all about real estate, and mm-hmm. it's morphed into something bigger than real estate. And so I started thinking to myself, what would people think mm-hmm. if I made this move and this declaration, would that impact Ascend? And would people not, you know? And so all these doubts started creeping in my mind. And I realized I can't place focus on what others might think of me. I have to do what's right for me and my family. And I have to listen to, you know, for some people it's, you know, it's God. It's for some people, it's the universe. For me, it was, I felt like God had been tapping me in the shoulder, like, hey, you're meant to do something bigger than just running a wholesaling operation. So I had conversations with my coach and with kind of my inner circle. And I had conversations with my team. And I ultimately, in June of this year, made the decision that I was going to exit out of the day-to-day operations of the business. And I worked out an agreement with my right hands, with Adrian, my COO. And so he kind of retained me as a consultant to the business. But I can tell you, I feel like a piano has been lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
I feel I'm making more money now. I'm working a lot less. I feel significantly less stress. And then ultimately, I'm just happier.
Yeah.
Did you, after all that, did you like, is there a moment you're like, why didn't I do this sooner? Like, or why didn't I?
Oh, I'm sure, right?
You know, that's a great question. The thought has crossed my mind that I wish I would have done it sooner, but I also believe that things happen when they're supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just ready. I think I had to go through that year to finally like convince myself, hey, I'm making the right move here. And, you know, forget what other people are going to think and the outside noise. Do what's right for you. And I heard earlier this year, I forgot who said it, happiness is the ultimate ROI. And when I heard that, it was like a trigger for me. I'm like, I need to make a move.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. Yeah. I give you a ton of props. And because to be honest, I don't know if I could personally have made that big of a pivot. And I think you, so I give you a ton of credit for that. And
thank you.
Admire you for doing that. Yeah. And you weren't bashful. I think you were very public about it, right? I think you could have done it quietly probably. What made you do it, you know, announce it like that?
I had a gut feeling that if I put that out there, it could potentially inspire people and it would start conversation, because I had been hearing for a while. I've heard several times, you know, in our mastermind, we know several people that are in this business and it's a grind, it's a hustle and really getting a whole lot of joy. And life is short. If we're not having fun, what's the point?
Right.
And so felt when So Sean, this is how I answer that question. When I launched the podcast 4 years ago at this point, I told myself I was going to be real and authentic, and I was going to share not just the wins, but the losses. And so that level of transparency and vulnerability that I think I've displayed throughout the years, I didn't want to be inauthentic and not be just as vulnerable. So that was the determining factor in me wanting to share it. And since then, it's been incredible how many people have reached out to me to kind of want to learn more about it and just find out what process I went through, because they're feeling something very similar.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of, you know, your following is going through the same things.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Tell us about your Ascend and the, and do you do coaching, like just coaching for new investors? Are you more of a, somebody maybe that's in, has been in the business for a little while, wanted to maybe take it to the next level? Because, I mean, we have a ton of followers and guests and people that are want to learn about real estate investing. And it's, Joni and I are not in that space at all. So I don't know if you can, you know.
Yeah, sure. Happy to answer that. I appreciate the opportunity to share, you know, more about it. So when Steve and I created Ascend, we wanted it to be focused on life first. You know, let us help our men get a clear picture on what their vision for their life is going to look like. And then how can we make tweaks? And in some cases, just alter things in their business to enhance that. So it's a community where there's a mastermind component to it, because we meet 3 times a year. And sometimes when we're at our mastermind retreats, guys, somebody can have their big challenge can be, hey, I'm going through a divorce or I'm really struggling in my relationship and it's impacting my business and every other aspect of my life. And then other times it could be about, hey, I need to hire people, or I need to generate more revenue. And so it's a hybrid and it keeps things very fresh. And you know, what's been really interesting is that sometimes we think we have business challenges, but when you start peeling the layers of the onion back, it's really a personal challenge masked as a business challenge. And we know that it's all connected, right? And so we kind of take a hybrid holistic approach to life and business. And we like to work with just people that already have an existing business up and running.
That's awesome. Is it for just real estate entrepreneurs, or is there people with other businesses?
It's for entrepreneurs, period. And so about 70-75% of our members are real estate, just because of the audiences mm-hmm. that Steve and I have. Mm-hmm. But no, we have probably 5, 6, 7 entrepreneurs in different spaces. And it's incredible the perspective and insight you get from an entrepreneur that's not in real estate, because sometimes we're so like pigeonholed into mm-hmm. how we think and how we operate. So I think there's a lot of value in that.
And the next question I have for you was tell me more about the vision, because you've mentioned that several times, the vision that you created, and then how your business, you tailored your business to that. So I know we probably don't have enough time to go into depth, but you personally, how did you go about that process? And then how did you, maybe you can get a little personal. What is your vision? And maybe that will help to have the listeners understand, when you mean by that, and then how you tailored your, and this would parlay into, we'd love to know how you balance family and work and all that. And so I'm sure that fits into your vision.
You know, and it's interesting, Sean, because I think it's all connected, so I'll actually answer your last question first. How I balance life and family, and I think there's not a right or wrong answer for this, but I think, you're listening, you have to ask yourself what's right or wrong for you. So for me, I never wanted business or making money to be in first place, to be the priority in my life. And, I learned this years ago, but if you look at somebody's calendar and bank account, that will tell you a lot about their priorities, mm-hmm. right? And so for me, I've always created tight boundaries around my working hours. So I usually start somewhere around 9:30 and I end 3:30, 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And if business can't fit into those boundaries in that box, I'm not really interested, because I have 2 little girls, which you guys have met and mm-hmm. spent some time with, and they love you, by the way, a 3 and a 5-year-old. And I don't want to ever, look back in the future and say, I didn't experience them growing up. I didn't spend time with them, or my relationship with my wife was suffering because I was hustling or because I was in the pursuit of making more money. So mm-hmm. for me, I just got crystal clear around, hey, these are my working hours. These are my boundaries. How do I design and build whatever business I'm in to enhance what I'm doing in my give me the ability to have that freedom and flexibility and travel as often as we do. And what's interesting is that when you put those boundaries, you actually become more efficient and you produce more, because it forces you to get as much during that time.
Right.
And I think oftentimes people think that's counterintuitive. No, the more I make, the more I'm going to work. And that might be true, but what are you sacrificing in the process? Yeah. So I kind of wish Natalie was on here, because I know your show caters to like working together, so you can kind of get her perspective, but she'll be the first to tell you, like, by 4 o'clock, I'm pretty much done. I'm focused on the family. We have dinner together. Weekends, I don't work. And that's not to say, guys, that at sometimes there's not seasons where I'm putting in a little bit more hours, mm-hmm. Because of something going on. When COVID hit, I felt like I went into overdrive for like a 45-day period.
Right.
But I got back into balance. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the vision, it's kind of hard to answer on a podcast, because it's a very specific process we take people through. But here, I'll share with you one exercise that we have people go through. Have you guys ever done the eulogy exercise?
Yes. So yeah. And you map your, and the time in between it.
Right.
Yeah. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. So that was one of the things that was very eye popping for me, is, pretend that you passed away, mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And, somebody was giving your eulogy. What would they say about you? Right. Yeah. So, or I'm sorry, what would you want them to say about you? Mm-hmm. What would you want them to say? Then the second part of the exercise is, now what would they say about you if they couldn't lie? Not what you would want them to say, but what would they say, because that was the fact. Mm-hmm. And so Natalie and I went through this exercise, and she was in tears going through it. And it really reveals a lot about what kind of life you want. And so that's kind of the genesis for us, is taking people through that exercise. And then we just get crystal clear on, hey, what do you want? The different, if you think about a wheel of life, we have finances, we have business / career, we have health, spiritual, fun, hobbies, all these kinds of things, relationships. If you were going to rate from 1 to 10, the different aspects of this wheel of life, How would you rate them? How's your spiritual life? How's your money, mm-hmm. right? How's your health? Mm-hmm. And then it starts to show you where you're out of balance mm-hmm. and where you need to spend some time. And then the next process is prioritize these. Where do these fit in your life? Like, what's at the top of the list? Is it spiritual? Is it relational? Is it your marriage, business, and kind of go down the line. And what's interesting is that what people always value the most is what's most out of whack. Mm-hmm. Right, where they might rate it a 5 or a 6. Mm-hmm. And so from there, we just take them through a process of like, what do you want? Not the outside world, not social media, not Facebook, but what do you truly want for your life to look like? And then we document it, you know, and we keep it on a one sheet of paper. And it's a living, breathing document. It's going to change as you evolve and as you grow. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah.
And big picture view of the vision.
Yeah. And it's, we've gone through that and that helped us a lot. I had a different journey where I ended up, I lost myself a little bit through that process. Cause I lost my drive. Cause I had such crystal clear purpose before, but it was a very hard charging, dynamic and then to change my priorities and I mean hard charging, more business, money making, that charge, and to try to balance it. Yeah. I lost my drive in business and mm-hmm. then it was a weird period for me. Luckily I came back, but it was an odd season for me would be the best way to put it. But
offline, I look forward to digging into that, because now selfishly I want to know more about that.
So you can ask me in a couple weeks in the Empire show. Yeah. So,
and honestly, Alex, like I personally admire you and Natalie for what you guys are doing. I mean, Natalie is super supportive. I wish she was here to, you know, hear that, because you're really living what you're saying right now. And Sean and I look up to you guys. So
It's awesome.
Thank you. So coming from you guys, that really means a lot. So thank you.
And some of the questions that we like to ask all of our guests, and just while we'll wrap this up, what habits have you formed in life or in business that you could share that could benefit people? Is there like a morning routine or
yeah, get into that? Yeah. And in the interest of being transparent, sometimes I fall off the wagon, as they say, and mm-hmm. I don't. Healthy habits. I do my best to disconnect from my phone when I wake up, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's probably one of the worst things you can do is checking email mm-hmm. and social media. So I try to give myself at least a 15 to 30 minute buffer before I look at my phone. But, you know, being consistent with my workout routine in the morning, I love working out in the morning. I think it puts me in a different state. Earlier this year, I learned transcendental meditation, which I highly recommend. And it's reduced some level of anxiety and stress that manifests at, you know, different points in my life. And mm-hmm. so I meditate 20 minutes every morning, 20 minutes every afternoon, prayer and reading something in the Bible, whether it's Proverbs or I just finished reading Job. So doing some type of scripture reading. Mm-hmm. And then recently I've gotten away from it. Now I'm getting back in the habit of at least reading 5 pages of something personal development related. Mm. I'm kind of a podcast junkie, so I get a lot of my personal development through listening to podcasts. Nice. And so those are just some kind of morning routine type stuff, you know, that I think I drink a lot of water in the morning. And so I don't think those are sexy answers, but it's what I'm doing that right, I find has,
it's real. So yeah, and it works. So sometimes the most simplest answers are probably, what people overlook, you mm-hmm. know, a lot.
So here's the other thing. I don't know if you guys, so journaling, again, nothing sexy, but have found that getting my thoughts and feelings mm-hmm. out of my head and heart onto paper, it just frees me up. I don't know. I feel lighter. I feel like I can think clear, more creatively. And so
absolutely. That's something that I do. And I journal every day and it just lets me get my thoughts out on paper and weight off your shoulders.
Yep. 100%.
That's awesome.
Is there a book or a podcast you would, that you're really into right now, or that you maybe just finished, or something you could recommend?
Just started reading Jocko Willink.
Nice.
Just started reading this book. And there's another one right now. I don't know where it is. Here it is. Really, really recommend this book, Rhinoceros Success.
That's awesome.
I just finished this one and I just picked this one up. So reading has, I think, had a really big impact on my life. And I'm old school. I like to grab the book and highlight, and I'm not a big Audible guy, but But yeah, I think it's important to just learn, figure out how you learn best, whether it's audio or visual or, you know, or just reading.
Yeah, cool. If we had a listener that was just starting out, what advice would you give them?
There's so much I would share with them.
If it's just one thing.
you know what? I would say I'm a big believer in just what's your gut answer. The first thing that comes to mind is, yes, I can say get a coach and mentor. I think that's very obvious to many people.
Right.
Figure out what your superpower is. What's your unique ability? Yes. What's your God-given talent? Whatever that is, believe it or not, you have a God-given talent. You have gifts. And if you don't know what that is, I think your number one job needs to be to figure that out. And then once you figure it out, lean into it, because that's when joy, happiness, and success are going to come.
What's your superpower?
Great advice right there.
You know what? I believe I'm an effective communicator and connector. So I think, and by the way, that's not my, I've gone through an exercise, a Dan Sullivan exercise of the genius zone. And it's essentially you have other people tell you, hey, here's what I think your superpower is. And that's what kept coming up that I didn't even realize in myself.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wow, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. Well, we really appreciate you being on with us today. And I think you added a ton of value today. So, you know, we, you know, like we said, we respect and admire you guys and what you have done. And so thank you for being here today. So.
Thank you, Alex.
No, thank you guys so much. I'm humbled and honored to be on the show. And I love what you guys are doing. And again, it goes the other way. I respect and admire you guys, and for the people you are, number one, and for you, what you've built. And hopefully we can hang out, you know, pretty soon and, yes. And go to the next mastermind together and just kick back and have fun.
Absolutely. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if you want to plug into the Flip Empire show, you can go to flipempire.com or flipempire.com/. I'll take you to Apple Podcasts. Alternatively, you can just email me, alex@flipempire.com.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And that'll wrap it up. So we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.